If you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy, this passage kind of grabbed a hold of me a couple weeks ago in reading, and so I've been going back over it and over it and over it, and God has been teaching me lessons through this passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it starts in verse 15. The whole context starts way back in chapter 26. We're not going to read 26 through 30, all right? But in 26, the end of chapter 26, Moses completes instructions to the children of Israel as far as the commandments, and these are his final words to the children of Israel. He's just about ready to send the children of Israel on, turn over the leadership to Joshua, and he's going to stay back. And so these are kind of his final words. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he then says this in verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day, notice what he says, life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord God, the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. And verse 19 is the thought that just kind of grabbed me and it won't let go. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Here's that phrase again. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, notice what he says. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We're going to do a little longer introduction here, but bear with me. This goes along with a concept that we hold dear as Baptists, the free will of man, the right of choice. In the Baptist, the London Baptist Confession of 1689, in section 9, you can look it up actually and download it as a PDF. It's a very long document. But in the London Baptist Confession of 1689, in section 9, it is a paragraph on the free will of man. Here is a couple of statements. It says paragraph 1 under the free will of man. God has endued the will of man with that natural liberty and power of acting upon choice, that it is neither forced nor by any necessity of nature determined to do good or evil. All right, that's very wordy, okay? It was reiterated in the Philadelphia Confession of 1742. In the 1800s and actually in the 1900s, you'd have groups of Baptists that would get together and they would reiterate these confessions, as we would call them. The London Baptist Confession was put together in 1689 to contradict a very common fallacy that we even still have today, and that is it was offsetting or going after the mindset of Calvinism. Now, Calvinism said in one of, if you know Calvinism, the tulip, all right, you have the total depravity of man and unconditional grace, but one of the I stands for irresistible grace. And the idea, the concept under Calvinism was that there was no choice there. There was no choice. It just, you had to get saved or you were not part of the elect. And so the London Baptist Confession of 1689 came together and they studied scripture, and you'd say, well, where does this idea of the free will of man come into play? Well, there's other passages in Matthew. There's the passage right here in Deuteronomy 30, where what does God say through Moses to the children of Israel? I've given you blessing and cursing. I've given you life and death, but it's your choice. right? And we have to be careful. I think there's actually some in here that you have a little Calvinism in you and it needs kicked out of you, all right? Because you think that you can force your will on somebody else. I've said this as a church. I can't force anybody in here to be saved. I can't do it. I can't force anybody in here to do what's right. I can't do it. Now, what I can warn you, and this is the lesson for tonight. This is the thing that's been hitting hard to me. And this is what has happened for decades now across America. What has happened is we have chosen death. And yet we think there's no consequences. And what we need to be sounding out from pulpits across America, you need to be sounding out through your family, is you can make a choice, but there's consequences. And that's what Christ tells us in the New Testament, but the Word of God tells us in the Old Testament, there's blessings and there's cursings. And that's what the free will is given to us. In James chapter 1, this is one of the text passage that the London Baptist Confession, the group of theologians and pastors got together. And under the free will, they quoted James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of your lust. When he is drawn away of his parents' lust, when he is drawn away of the preacher's lust, when he is drawn away of his own, it's your choice. When you sin, it's your choice. Don't blame it on somebody else. And that has crept into churches, it's crept into America, and we have to understand this idea of the free will of man is very important. It's a very important teaching, and it's a biblical doctrine because you have a choice. What you don't have the choice of is determining the consequences. That's God. God says, you choose to reject me. That's your choice, but I choose your consequence. The consequence is damnation. It's hell. You get to choose. I can choose to accept Christ, I can choose not to. But guess what? The consequences of that choice has already been determined. That's what I think sometimes we don't get. And so under this free will of man, paragraph 1, it says, God has endued the will of man with that natural liberty and power of acting upon choice. A little wordy, but we still hold to that today as a church. Then paragraph 2 says this, man in his state of innocency had freedom and power to will and to do that which was good and well-pleasing to God, but yet was unstable so that he might fall from it. Where do we find that? In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3, it says this, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So who made him do it? The devil made him do it? No, they made a choice, didn't they? You have a choice in this. Another passage that reveals this is Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. It's a choice. It's the free will of man. And so I open with this idea of the free will of man. There are other ones in the Philadelphia Confession, and that was in the 1700s, 1742. They had a third point, a third paragraph. This was also in the London, but it says, man by his fall into a state of sin hath wholly lost all ability, and good have wholly lost, I actually lost the rest of it on my paper. All right. He as a natural man, is dead in sin, is not able by his own strength to convert. Okay. He needs help to come back to Christ, okay? And so we find that in Romans chapter 5 and Ephesians and Titus 3. The Bible indicates that man, because of his fall, is completely sinful. All right? And he needs help to come back to God. So choices. Choices are a part of life. We make many choices. In this text, Moses is coming to an end of his time. I said that in Deuteronomy chapter 30. But I'd like us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 26. And I want to just, let's get through our intro here. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, look at verse 16. This is where it switches gears. He's been giving all these laws, and now he says in verse 16 of chapter 26, "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thine soul, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be this his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments and to make thee high above all nations, with which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken." All right, now, I'm not a Reformed theologian, so I don't believe Reformed theology. Most of the time, it's replacement. They think that the church has replaced Israel. We don't adhere to that. But I believe that there are teachings, and all Scripture is given for inspiration. All of it is an example for us. So the Old Testament, God chose Israel to be his people. Do we have a similar situation today? Yes. According to Peter, God has called us a peculiar people, a holy nation. All right, you can look that up in Peter. So he calls us, we're a royal priesthood. So guess what God has done? He has called us as believers today to be high and lifted up, to be peculiar for him, to be special, to be an example to the world. All right, so there is instruction for us. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you'll notice this. Notice he's saying all these laws, all these guidelines, but notice in chapter 28 and verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then look at verse 2, "All these blessings shall come upon thee." Verse 3, "Blessed shall thou be in the city." Verse 4, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body." Verse 5, "Blessed shall be the basket and thy store." 6, "Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out." All these blessings. But then it changes. It changes, and then we start seeing, if you look at verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken." And what's interesting is from verse 15, it goes all the way to 68. Like 1 to 14 is, hey, here's my blessings. Verse 15 all the way to the end of the chapter is the cursings. So that's already instructive, because guess what our tendency is? To disobey. Our tendency is to disobey. I believe biblically, life is tied to obedience. I believe I have proof, and you'll see that tonight. Life is tied to obedience. So young people, listen here. When you decide to disobey, you are partaking of death. Death kills spirituality. And that's why some sitting here tonight, spiritually, you're dead. Why? Because you think it's okay to disobey. You have been fed a line that, hey, you know, I can do my own thing. Show me that in Scripture. Show me it. I dare you. I dare you try to twist Scripture around where the Bible tells you you can do what you want, say what you want, go wherever you want, and you'll be okay. You're spiritually dead. Because death, you're bringing death into your life. And that's where, how do we spiritually come alive in salvation? Guess how? We have to obey. We have to obey God's way of getting into heaven. And then we have life. The same thing happens for our spiritual life after we're saved. If you decide that you're going to live the same way that you lived in the old life, and that is disobedience, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to be dead spiritually. We should live differently, and that is we adhere to the Bible. What's interesting in Deuteronomy chapter 28, this list, all right, I'm just going to mention a bunch of them. I went through and listed out from verse 15 all the way through verse 68. Here's a number of the curses that happen. If you disobey, God said this to the children of Israel, your children will be cursing, the crops will be ruined, animals will be killed. You'll have confusion of mind. You'll have madness. You'll have fear. You'll have sickness. You'll have drought. You'll have hunger and thirst. You'll be defeated in war. Your wives will be ravished. Oppression and slavery. Cannibalism. Literally, I had to look it up. In verse 53 through 57, it lists out cannibalism. Captivity. Plan shattered, poverty, robbery, children kidnapped, foreign nations will take over the land, and shame and scorn. I didn't even list all of it. What is God trying to tell the children of Israel? Obey me, because I'll bless you. But what do we know about the children of Israel? You get into the promised land, and right away you start disobeying. And you don't think that God is going to be true to his word? Deuteronomy 30 again in verse 19. It's our text for this evening. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. What is life? Obedience. Life is tied to blessing. Death is disobedience and cursing. Therefore, please choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening as we take some moments to consider whether we will choose life. Pray that the message would resonate with us. Lord, we'd be scared to disobey you. I believe that's the right fear. The fear of God would rest upon this place. Lord, we would be fearful not of our associations, not what others think of us, not of, Lord, pleasing the devil, not of our workplace. We'd be fearful of displeasing our God. Lord, meet with us this evening. Do that which I cannot do. Give us power, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, and I'm just going to show you, just have a couple simple points. First, I want you to see that life originates from God. Life originates from God. Notice in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the flesh. And so in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So go to chapter 2 and notice in verse 6 and 7, it says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I believe that's the first time that the word life is used in the Bible. And you'll notice that who gave it? God. Life originates from God. Here we see that life, God breathed into man, and guess what happened to him? He became alive, a living soul. This is what's interesting, and that's why I say that it's tied to obedience. Because the first time that the word death or die is used is found in chapter 2 again. Notice a little later in verse 17. So here's the first time. So life, I believe, is associated to our obedience. Okay? It's life originates from God, but this is why I believe I have Bible to back it up. Look at verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt what? Not. All right, there it is. The negativity coming out. Just negative, negative, negative. It's all it's about. No, God says, hey, you can have the whole garden, but one tree, just keep away from. Thou shalt not eat of it. Notice what he says. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Notice what it's tied to. Disobedience. And you and I have been fed a bunch of baloney by the devil and the world. And the baloney is this, that you can disobey and you can disregard Scripture, you can disregard what God says, and it's not going to affect you. Blessing and cursing, life and death, choose life. That's my challenge tonight. Do you not think that there's not consequences when we decide on our own to disregard Scripture? There are consequences. And just like in gravity, there's laws of nature. And in laws of nature, you can't stop them. In the same regard, when you choose to disobey, you can't stop the consequences. We've got to understand that. And when the devil comes and he comes alongside you and says, what's the big deal? Hath God said? We see that in chapter 3. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here he comes in. Oh, come on. And he's been doing it for thousands of years, for millennia. The devil comes alongside of us, and he's done that alongside the unbeliever and said, hey, you're not really going to go to hell. You can get to heaven your own way. But the only way to get to heaven is obedience through God's way. And then he comes, Satan, that old serpent, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, comes alongside us as believers, and he says again, it's not really that big of a deal to obey Scripture. That's what he comes alongside and says. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Oh, you're missing out. And we, like lambs going to the slaughter, we follow along a serpent that's been kicked out of heaven, been cursed, has his own demons, his own, and he's been banished from heaven, been given control of this earth right now. But we know through Scripture that one day he will be cast into the lake of fire. Permanently there. A defeated foe. And yet, we listen to him. Yeah. Devil's probably right. Now, we don't say that audibly, but when you act upon your will to go against written Scripture, guess what you're choosing? Death and cursing. I think scripturally, and you can run with this out of context, I understand that, but scripturally, there is blessing upon obedience and cursing upon disobedience, even to this day. Now, you know, I agree, the prosperity gospel people, they've taken it to an extreme, but I think we've reacted again and said that, no, hey, you know what, God may not bless obedience. Yes, he does. He blesses obedience. It normally doesn't mean $1 million in your bank, okay? But what it does mean, all right, and sitting here, you've experienced it. You talk to somebody that's disobedient to Scripture and ask me if they're happy. There's misery in their soul. There is hatred, there is anger, there is bitterness. The world is all against them. You know why? Because the Bible is true. There is death and disobedience. Choose life. I beg of you. Choose life. Life originates from God. We see that in Genesis 1 and 2. And then a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 32, notice not only does life originate from God, but life is preserved by God. In Genesis 32, you see Jacob, and this is at the end where he was left alone in Genesis 32, verse 24. He's left alone, and there he wrestled with God. But you'll notice at the end of this wrestling, in verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Look what he says, and my life is preserved. You know why you exist? It's not because, and I understand, again, you can go overboard with this preservation. God's given you some responsibility to take care of your body. All right, he has. Okay? And I'm not saying be a vegetarian, all right, but you should be careful. We should be careful what we eat. We should take care of the temple that God has given us, this physical temple. But I am here because God preserves me. When he wants me gone, I'm gone. And that's why the obedience to the word of God is so vital. It's so vital. Following God's word is much more important than following some government mandate. And I'm not gonna sit here and park on it, but I am sick and tired of people saying and telling us how to operate churches. No, God's word commands us to be together. Not online, but together, physically, visibly. Now, I understand if somebody's sick. But to live in fear of what may come, that is not scriptural even. Because God has not given us. I just busted your mic here. All right. Trashed it. All right. Get a new mic. But here in Scripture, the Bible tells us that I should understand that I am preserved by God. When God wants me gone, I'm gone. I won't live one second more. I can't find some fountain of youth. And I am not saying that we shouldn't take care of ourselves. If I can extend my life by just a little bit, by being a little healthier, I think God wants me to do that. But when he wants me gone, I'm out of here. Because God is the preserver of life. But then, life originates from God. Life is preserved by God. But life has purpose in God. We see that in our text where it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You'd say, how is that purpose? My purpose comes, what was he talking about? For three chapters, 27, 28, and 29, Moses and God basically come to the children of Israel and say, here's what I've presented to you. Obey and I bless you. Disobey and there's cursing. There's purpose in obeying God because life comes in you when you obey God. That's the purpose. Life has purpose in God. You'll notice this purpose. I found a couple of terms. Over 400 times the word life is found in the Bible. Over 400 times. In the book of Genesis, you'll find that life at the beginning we saw it in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, Genesis 3, that life, a lot of it is indicated that it's put on God, that God creates life. That's how it's brought, first of all, through Scripture. It's shown that life originates from God. Then it's preserved by God, but then there's purpose. Life has purpose in God. Where do we see this? Well, in Psalm 16, I'm going to do some in Psalms and Proverbs, just quickly. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me, guess what, the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path. Our path is revealed as we follow God in obedience. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Another example of this is Psalm 23. All right, we normally don't associate this with life, but it says, all right, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But at the end, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not only is my path revealed, my prosperity is assured when I understand that life is obedience to God. Prosperity. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of my life. That life, you'll see a strain all through Scripture. That life is associated with doing what's right according to Scriptures. And death is associated with disobedience, and that means cursing and death spiritually. Life has purpose in God. Our path is revealed. Our prosperity is assured. Look at chapter 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Our power is in Him. So this is my challenge to us this evening. Have you chosen life? All right, yes, salvation. It could be that there's somebody here this evening and you've been coming to church for a long time and you do not have eternal life. Life, eternal life, salvation starts when you submit and you obey God's way of getting to heaven. So settle that tonight. But then what about as Christians here this evening? What's the big deal? What's the big deal about obeying my parents? What's the big deal about obeying authority? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Read Scripture. You have chosen death and cursing. Death and cursing come upon your life when you choose to ignore the life that God's way of getting life. Did you notice that the Lord is my light and my salvation? It says the Lord is the strength of my life. You know why some of you are weary of the Christian walk? Because you live in disobedience. And when you live in disobedience, the Christian life is hard. I hear young people, I hear older folks, but especially young people. It's so hard. You know why it's hard? Because you're disobedient. Because power is given to those that obey Scripture. The Lord is the strength of my life. There's power when you follow that obedient life. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, choose life. I challenge you this week. I did it actually yesterday afternoon. This thought grabbed me again. As I said, for a couple of weeks, I'd just been thinking on it, and I thought, I want to look at it. So look up life, just the word life in the book of Proverbs. I just went through, and I had to stop reading all the verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And I had cut some out. There were 16 verses because some of them, they were like, oh, that's just, it's kind of just a vague idea of life. But Here's just a couple of them. It says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's just the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is all about life. And yet so many of us have embraced death. You'd say, what do we... I wouldn't be hanging on to a corpse. But you've hung on to your disobedience. And disobedience brings death and it brings cursing. The curse of God is upon the disobedient. When God tells you to do something, snap to it. Don't fight him. Don't resist him. Because when you resist, you're choosing to embrace death. And death doesn't bode well with a vibrant spiritual life, does it? We normally aren't thinking of the vibrant spiritual life of going into the promised land in a coffin. No, it should be victorious. But victory comes through obedience. I was reading about Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill had his eye fixed on Hitler as they were, we now look back in history and we know that they were coming up to World War II. He continually warned his nation and the world around him of the impending disasters about to befall Europe. Almost nobody listened. In 1936, so think about it. So you're in 1941, just to, 5 years away. But in 1936, he embarked on a campaign, strenuous campaign. And he wanted to go all the way around England and London. And he set up times and he would speak and he would speak. And he was warning and warning and warning about the upcoming danger that was there with Hitler. He saw it on the horizon. And one article that he published in newspapers, he bought an article or paid money. And he got a hold of 14 countries around in that European Union and that area. 14 countries, and he paid for articles to be published. And this is a section of it. He said that the people of Europe were chattering, busy, sporting, toiling, amused from day to day by headlines and from night to night by cinema, slipping, sinking, rolling backward to the age when the earth was void and darkness was moved upon the face of the waters. He was writing and saying, come on, you play and you're out playing cricket, all right, and having tea and crumpets. And he's saying, there is danger. And you know what? That's what I feel like sometimes. I come alongside some of you and I'm like, please choose life. But you don't hear. Oh, what's the big deal? Oh, that's no big deal. I've even heard people say this. Hey, you know what? I'm all right. God hasn't hit me with lightning. Holy cow. For real? Maybe God's been long-suffering and God's been merciful. But you choose to disobey. It is death. It is misery. It is cursing. It is spiritually over. God help us to take the instruction from Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 where he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life.